see how much out of it I am. Okay. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a man, a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with thee. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he the second time his mother's womb be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say to thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof. Cannot tell from whence it cometh, and whither it goeth. So it is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus said, How can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, Thou art a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say to thee, that we speak that we know, and testify that we have seen, and ye have received not our witness. I would preach to you this morning on the subject, listen carefully, the mothering spirit. Now, let's be sure we understand this. We do not worship feminine deities.
That's right.
Heathens do that.
That's right.
The church never has and never will. But I'll tell you something else. There is a very interesting comparison to the attributes of the Holy Spirit and the attributes of a mother.
Yes, amen.
That's the reason I call this the mothering spirit. And be sure you understand me. The spirit is never spoken of in the effeminate form. He is the way you say it. However, by the time I get through, I think you will know why I've named this subject the mothering spirit. I had a very interesting thing happen to me last year. So before I talk about Mother's Day, I am going to say a couple of things about Father's Day. I was called to preach by a friend of mine who pastors a church in Orange Cove, California. Not too far from where I live. And he said, I'd like for you to come over here and preach on Father's Day. I'd never preached in the church before. And I said, all right, I'll get ready. And so I went to a sale, you know, one of these like a Salvation Army sale. And I found some books there. I found two books called The Minister's Manual. I don't even know whether they're still in print or not. But what they were books year by year, and they had all kinds of things for the minister. They had sermon suggestions, they had material, they had a calendar, a religious calendar, and all the rest of it. So I said, well, that's good. I bought two of them, 1949 and 1950. And I took them home. I've got several Father's Day sermons. When I pastored the church in Bakersfield, Linda and I was there for 7 years, and I preached every Sunday holiday service. I got plenty of sermons. But even though I do, I like to get a new one every once in a while. So I grabbed those books, and I took them home, and I said, wow, this is going to be great. I'm going to get a Father's Day sermon, and I'm going to preach a brand new one, and it's going to inspire me. I know it. I took down 1949, and I looked through that pages, and I found Mother's Day sermons everywhere. Mother's Day sermon for Sunday morning, Mother's Day sermon for Sunday night. They even had a Wednesday night Bible study on Mother's Day. And not one Father's Day message could I find in that book. I set that one aside and I picked up 1950. Same thing. Not one Father's Day sermon. So I went to the internet. What is going on here? Did you know that we've been celebrating Mother's Day since 1914? And did you know how long we've been celebrating Father's Day? Since 1966. When Lyndon Baines Johnson was president, he suggested to Congress that we have a day for fathers. And they turned him down. Because they said it'd just be another commercialized holiday. And when I read that, I wanted to jump up and say, and Christmas isn't? They got some funny notions in Washington. Most of them are not good notions either. Anyway, I thought that's strange. I didn't know that. I just assumed that Father's Day was here for a long, long time. It hadn't been. And you know what kind of emotion I had when I really found that out? Didn't make me any difference. I'm sorry, but let me tell you something. If there was a referendum next week on voting on should we keep Mother's Day or Father's Day, I guarantee you every man that I know and have talked to, we'd all do the same thing. We'd vote for Mother's Day.
That's right. That's right.
We don't get bent out of shape. I'm glad that we have a Mother's Day.
Amen.
I know it. You don't think that we even know that you're alive, but you're wrong. And I guarantee you, if that referendum ever came up and the nation would vote, most every man in this nation feels like I do.
That's right.
We'd much rather see a Mother's Day as opposed to a Father's Day. But now even that, I've changed a bit. Because I have come by observation and by listening and looking, I have come to know how important fathers are in families. And I know some of them need to be beat over the head. And I know that I would like to see Father's Day a little more punch to it. Because it's important. And I want you to know today, beyond all of that, you are important to us, mommies. You're important simply because we don't know exactly how to articulate that to you. But believe me when I tell you this, we do know that you're alive. And we do know and appreciate you in the depth of our heart. But also remember this, we're a little too manly to get syrupy about. So we really may not ever tell you. Who was it that God told his wife? He said, of course I've loved you. I've loved you these years, and if it changes, I'll let you know. I don't think he was making any points there. But yes, I'm glad we've been celebrating Mother's Day since 1914. And I don't want it ever to change. I'd just like to see more families with good fathers as a head of their family.
Yes,
and this nation, a
lot of its ills would be cured.
That's right.
Amen. How many of you believe what I'm talking about?
Amen.
Getting back to my text in my sermon, the mother in spirit. Thinking about that in my text, let's get this straight. Why are you here? In the beginning, it's because your mother birthed you. Naturally. Why are you here spiritually? It's because the Spirit birthed you.
Hallelujah.
Into the kingdom of God.
Amen.
That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. You are not only flesh. You are also spirit. Every single one of you. So, that's number one. In comparison, we was born once. But brother, I am so glad I've been born again. You remember who George Whitefield was? Great preacher, English preacher. Came over here and preached for Jonathan Edwards, and before it was over with, this nation had its first great, glorious, wonderful revival called the Great Awakening. George Whitefield preached on John 3:16 five straight nights in a meeting. Ye must be born again. So a group of seminary students cornered him and said, "Brother Phil, you preached on you must be born again five nights in a row." Said, "Why are you making that such a point?" He looked at them and he said, "I'll tell you why. Because ye must be born again." I said, "That's a good answer right there. Because ye must be born again if you're going to see the kingdom of God." So I want to take these things, these attributes of mothers in the Spirit. Now I want you to consider them. Number one, unselfishness. If there is a lady here, a godly lady that is a member, part of this church, this group, and you've never said hello to her, you need to. And I'm going to tell you how to do it. This is my advice. Don't walk up to her and say, "How are you?" That'll get you a half a point. If you want to make points, walk up to her and say, "How's your family?" And then be prepared to stand there for 20 minutes while she tells you about her family. Because she, as a general rule, is not interested in how she is. She's interested in how her children and grandchildren are. Amen? And Jesus said, "When the Spirit shall come, he will not talk of himself, but the things he hears, that's what he'll speak of." And you and the Holy Spirit are a lot alike on that point. Unselfish. And I think everybody here knows exactly what I'm talking about. How about something else? Why do you call the Holy Spirit a comforter? And I'm going to tell you right now, there is not a hairy arm or a long man in this congregation that's got the same touch in his hand as your wife has. can tell you about both those ladies. I was married to both of them and I lost both of them. Both of them. If you got into a conversation with them, both of them would talk primarily about their father. Both of them. I don't know, is there a, I'm just adding, you know, just throwing it out to you, man. Talk to me after service. There must be some kind of special connection between a daughter and a father.
Yes, amen.
I have seen that, and I think it to be true. I saw it in Kenner, and I saw it in Linda. I want to tell you something. Both of those ladies thought a lot of their father. I'll tell you this, they were both very comforting ladies.
Yes, amen.
Of course, now, Linda did step out of character. You see, somebody at the church in Bakersfield gave me a tie. And on the front of the tie, there was some words of the first verse of Amazing Grace. And I got the tie on, I pulled it up, on my collar, and I looked at it in the mirror, and I said, well, she looked pretty good. And I walked out where she was in the family room, and I said, how you like my tie? She said, that looks nice. She said, how do you like it? And I said, well, I really like it. And she said, well, you should like it. It's got your name on it. I said, my name? And she put her finger about right there where it said, wretched. Wretch. You know, that same wretch like me. I looked down there and saw where she put her finger. And I just rolled my eyes up to heaven and I said, Lord, I thank you for my helpmate. She's helping to destroy my confidence. She's helping me out of the ministry. She was joking and I knew that. Didn't bother me at all. I'll tell you one thing, when I got the flu and I was sitting in the family room in my chair and I was shaking and couldn't stop shivering, and I think I had about 25 pounds of cover on, I just shook. And she said, don't worry about it, I said, I'll help you. She went and got a blanket and threw it in the dryer for a minute or two or three, I don't know how long, and she brought it back in there and threw those other covers and then threw that blanket over me, and my shivering stopped just like that. That was the most wonderful feeling I think I'd ever felt. Hold on. She knew how to be comforted. But I tell you something else, though. When she got sick, Karen or Linda, they didn't ask for Daddy then. They asked for Mama. Karen and I one time, both got the flu at the same time. And she woke me up in the middle of the night, scooting around a little bit and then saying, Mama, Mama. I started to wake her up and tell her, Mama ain't here, I'm the best you've got right now. We was 1,000 miles away from them. But I never did forget that. And I've always thought of it. When your children are sick, then they don't want you. They want Mom.
That's right.
And why is that, Brother Adam? Because like the Holy Spirit, God has placed in every woman a special entity that makes them a comfort, like the Holy Ghost is. And if you're heartbroken, if your life is in shambles, if this world is upside down in your corner, if you don't know what to do next, you're in the right place, and I'm preaching the right sermon, because the Holy Ghost is here to comfort you, my friend. Right? Amen. Give the Lord a hand. Amen. 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 thing that's going on in this world today, the world the way it is, this nation the way it is. We need comforting. I don't know whether it's we need it more than ever before, but we certainly need it today. And how about this one? Humility. Did you know that God protects the Holy Spirit?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Did you know that? When I was a young man, close to saying I was a boy. All right, I know it was a long time ago. I feel like that myself now. Things were a little bit different. If you walked up to somebody and said, "Your father is a dirty crook," you just say, "Yeah, well, let me tell you about your father." But if you walked up to somebody and said something bad about his mother, he wouldn't say a word about your mother. He'd just take his feet and try to unlodge about four teeth in your mouth. I remember a guy I preached, you know, some guy walked, said, "Let me tell you the story." When he was a young man, before he ever got saved, walked in this bar. Guy sitting over there, and he loud mouthed guy. He said, "That church down there, that Pentecost church, everybody goes there crazy." And some other guy got off the bar stool, walked down where he was, wheeled him around, and pow, knocked him off the bar stool. Hit him right beside the face, and he fell down the floor. And he said, "What'd you do that for?" He said, "My mother goes to that church." And ain't nobody talking about anywhere my mother goes. Are you serious? Yes, I am serious. Mothers were highly respected. And you did not say anything bad about somebody's mother. The hardest, toughest, scariest words that Jesus ever spoke was the day those guys around him said, "He's casting out devils by the prince of devils." And Jesus turned and looked at them and said, "Let me tell you something. All manner of blasphemy will be forgiven you except the blasphemy of the Holy Ghost. That will not be forgiven you, not in this world and not in the world to come." Period.
Amen.
Yes, amen.
You can talk about God, you can talk about Christ, but I highly recommend that you said nothing negative about the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Just like I recommend that you say nothing real negative about anybody's mother.
Amen.
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 Good preaching, Brother Allen. Thank you.
Amen.
All right. Here's where we're getting down to it. Ready? Lastly.
Hallelujah.
Or in closing. The Bible exhorts us, grieve not the Holy Spirit wherewith you're sealed. Did you ever grieve your father? I never grieved him. Well, let me put it this way. If I ever grieved him, he never showed it. I never grieved him. I just made him so angry that there's fire in his eyes. But my mother, I grieved her.
Yes.
Two other young men, myself, decided to get in. One of them had the key to his daddy's car. It was an older Chevrolet. So we decided to run away for about 3 days. We had some hamburger money and all that. Stupidity reigns supreme in young people's minds. So we got his car. We took off, three of us, wound up over there by a lake in Dallas. So the guy who car belonged to his dad, he said, "I'm tired of driving." So I didn't know how to drive. I was 14. Going to 50 about 14 times. I didn't know how. I said, "I can't drive." Then the guy said, "I can drive." And so he got behind the wheel. He couldn't drive either. Man, he got that car up to, I don't know how fast it's going, but it's going down a dirt road real fast. He lost control of it, and the car rolled three times. It threw me out of the car, broke my right arm, and they took me to the hospital. They set my arm, put the cast around and all that, and my father walks in. "How you doing? Are you all right? You're not? No, this is it. Oh, they set my arm, it's got the cast on it. I'm fine, man. So you're okay?" "Yes, I am." He lit on me. As the old saying goes, he jumped on me like a chicken on a June bug. "What do you think you were doing? What kind of..." Now understand this. They had been divorced for several years. But he was still my father. Divorce didn't change that. And he just berated me. He said, "You know what you've done to your mother?" "Yeah, Dad, I knew I did that." So we finally went home. He didn't make me mad. What he said was true. I knew it. I'm big, but I ain't dumb. And then Mother and I went home. And for 2 days, she hardly said a word. And that silence was deafening. I'd have rather she'd have slapped me right across the face. Because I could really see in her action, in her eyes, she was grieved that I would do such. I grieved her. There are so many people out of our churches that are literally grieving the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Amen.
True.
They're involved in sin. They're involved in backsliding. They don't care about the church anymore. They're not bad. They're not mean. Not to us. Who they're mean to is the Holy Spirit.
Yes. Amen.
That's good. Amen.
And brother, I'm going to tell you this. If you've got any conscience, if you've got any feelings left in you, hear this part of the message today. You are grieving the blessed, tender, wonderful, and gentle Holy Spirit.
Yes. Praise God. Praise God.
Just like your mother birthed you into natural life, the Holy Spirit birthed you into spiritual life.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
And it was never intended that you grieve the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
May I encourage you, repent of what you have done and fall on your face and ask you be forgiven of grieving the Holy Ghost of God. You know how unselfish the Holy Ghost is? Did you know he's here this morning, but he is not here to talk of himself?
Yeah.
I'm doing that.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But when he comes in, he doesn't talk of himself. He's here for one purpose, to show you Jesus Christ
Amen.
As reality.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
Your thought of this morning, Ron. Your thought of it. You're thought of it by all of us. But you're also thought of by Him. By God the Father,
yes.
God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
How many attributes that you share with the blessed Holy Spirit? And there's a reason for it. That's the message this morning. Happy Brother's Day.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
And if your mother's here, you be sure you let her know how much you appreciate her. And if your wife is here, you be sure you let her know how much you appreciate her and all the things that she has meant to you. You can do it, mister. You can articulate it.
Amen.
Get a little slurpy. It's okay. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Debbie? There you are. I'm sorry. My eyes are getting big. Do you guys know Holy Spirit? Thou art welcome.
Yes.
In this place. I want you to sing that. This time I want you to sing it with emotion. Let's see if we can. Holy Spirit that has come to live in your heart through Christ Jesus.